6, verse 10. We have really short and easy passages for me to read as I get ready to preach. We're only going to look at, there are two petitions there. But we're only going to look at the first one because just simply there's too much to discuss in looking at that. So we will look at the latter part of Matthew 6:10 next week, but I'll read it to you in its entirety. This is the second and third petition in the Lord's Prayer. Matthew 6:10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we are learning to pray and looking at this template of prayer that Christ taught his disciples that is teaching us in how to pray, that we would consider each of these petitions, reflect upon them. What does it mean to pray, thy kingdom come or your kingdom come? May we understand it in its fullness and apply it in our lives and the ministries that we might have opportunity for the advancement of the gospel and for the furtherance of your kingdom. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. It does seem odd that three words, your kingdom come, would take up so much time in even a sermon. But there is much to consider here. It may be short and sweet, but Christ gives us much to think about when he simply tells us in modeling us to pray, your kingdom come. The first thing we need to do when we begin to pray this petition is make sure we're all on the same page as to what is this kingdom that Jesus is referring to. It's a concept throughout the Gospels, whether it's called the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew, it's often called the kingdom of heaven. That is the kingdom Jesus is referring to here in this second petition. And I could simply say, if you don't understand what this kingdom of God theological concept or kingdom of heaven concept is, then you won't know how to pray this petition. In fact, I can't overemphasize the importance that every Christian understand what is your kingdom? What is this kingdom of God? It's understandable there's some confusion on the subject. In the Old Testament, we had the kingdom that we saw, the establishment of the Holy Land, the nation of Israel. And it's sort of our first thought, and even the language of kingdom, we think of a physical kingdom, something that would even be one that would stand against Rome. That was an issue that was in confusion in the gospel times. Folks saw Jesus' coming of establishing a kingdom that would oppose Rome. But there seems to be that is not what Christ is talking about. This kingdom of God, if you look at all of what he teaches, is something of a dynamic concept, an activity, a reigning of God's kingdom eternal. So when we speak of the kingdom of God, when Christ speaks of the kingdom of God, he's not speaking of establishing some physical kingdom. But actually, he's talking about the reign of God. And this, of course, is actually not just a New Testament concept, but one even spoken about in the Old Testament. Psalm 145, they shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures throughout all generations. Psalm 103, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. These passages in the book of Psalms indicate that this kingdom is of a cosmic rule. It's not just concerned with the promised land in the Old Testament. It is speaking about God's eternal rule over all lands and all nations. But secondly, and Christ taught this in his time on earth, the kingdom of God has a present and future reality to it. And it's incredibly important to understand that when we pray this petition. What I mean by present is this, Matthew 12:28. But if it is by the Spirit of God that I can cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Jesus speaks about the kingdom as being present now, even in his reality. Luke 17:20, Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There, for behold,' but the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." So Jesus spoke about this kingdom present with us. It's not something coming, but something that is already present. But he also spoke of it as it is coming, a future hope, a consummation. Matthew 26, 29, "I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day which I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." So then what is it? Is it present or is it future? Is it here or are we still waiting for it? How do we understand it practically? I think the most helpful way to understand it is this. I understand the confusion, but maybe think of it in terms of clarity. The kingdom of God presently is invisible and will be visible in the end of times. Think of it this way. We know that Jesus is king. He is Lord over all. But not everyone knows that. Not everyone sees that. It's not clear to everyone. But there will be a day in the future where that will be clear to everyone. It will be obvious. It will be plain. Not one person on the planet of Earth will not know that Jesus is Lord and this kingdom is visible. So that helps us to understand there is a present but yet future hope that we look forward to. Now there's just a few other things I just want to mention before even getting into how we are praying this petition. One, we need to remember always, the kingdom of God is theocentric. I know that may seem obvious. The very fact is that God's name is associated with it. But what's important is to understand when we are praying about this kingdom, we're praying about God's agenda, his purposes, his reign. He is the primary mover and instigator. We are the subjects. It is not something that originates with us. It originates in heaven and with God. It is also dynamic. It's on the move. It's expanding. It's growing in its influence. This is not an experiment or temporary. It's God's activity in the heavens and on the earth. As Jesus is casting out demons, healing people, it's literally a movement of God that extends even to this day. It's messianic, as I already just indicated there. Jesus and the kingdom of God cannot be separated. They're intertwined. His messianic ministry is completely tied in with this expansion of the kingdom. And at its heart is to bring peace and salvation, to be a blessing. God is bringing salvation to his creation. He is bringing healing. Jesus' ministry to forgive sins. The kingdom is advancing to change the world in which we live. Now, I know that's a lot to take in, but it's so important you understand that when we pray, "Your kingdom come," that you understand what kingdom that we are advancing. So what is it that we should consider as we pray? Three things. The kingdom is, as I've already said, is now. God's reign and his kingdom are expanding, are dynamic. Right now, he's sovereign over this world, this planet, and his kingdom is advancing right now. Jesus came as a king to change things and to reestablish how God and what his kingdom looks like. The Sermon on the Mount, in many ways, could be seen of in some ways as the constitution of the kingdom of God, giving us and declaring to us what the kingdom of God, what its subjects look like, that's the Beatitudes, and how they are to carry themselves out in ministry, how they are to live. That is what the Sermon on the Mount sort of is. It is explaining to us what the kingdom of God looks like in us, in God's people. We want to see the kingdom in breaking into the world, manifesting itself. And so the church, God's people, are a big part of that. So whether it's church planting, evangelism, discipleship, mercy ministries, I could go on and on. Activities of the church of God's people that advance the kingdom of God. We are to pray for right now the advancement of God's kingdom, his agenda in this world. When we say, "Thy kingdom come," we are speaking at this moment. In the present, hoping and seeing that God's kingdom will expand and grow. The fact is, the chaos of this world is because of us, because of sin. Every story in scripture where man seems to do what they want and in their own interests always often ends in chaos and destruction. The fact that we have violence and racism, pollution, death and disease, all of these things are at its root sin and evil. We are our own worst enemy. And so the ways that we often work are treacherous, but we are hoping that by his kingdom being established, true peace will come. Not our agenda, but God's agenda. The second thing in this petition is this, that we are longing as Christians to see the kingdom come. In other words, the second part of this petition is that we are looking forward to the consummation of the new heavens and the new earth, to see the kingdom of God visible, fulfilled, completed. When we pray this petition, we are longing, we are praying for Jesus' return, to see no more pain and suffering and sin and death to be obliterated. In this simple petition, we are praying, Lord Jesus, come, your kingdom come into consummation, into completion. As Christians, we live in this tension. We live in the present, but we long for a future where Jesus Christ is visible to all, where his kingdom is established, where death is no more, where sin is wiped off the face of the earth. We look forward to the fulfillment of God. No more struggles, but God's rule over all the earth. These are the positive aspects of this petition, that we want to see the kingdom advanced today, and we long to see it visible in our world. We long for Christ's return. But there's a negative side to this that is not so evident. And I touched upon this earlier, and I'm just going to be simply blunt here. It is not your kingdom come. It is not my kingdom come. Let me explain what I'm saying here. It's important to notice these possessive pronouns in the Lord's Prayer. Remember, we talked about it. It's not my Father, it's our Father. And this, it is your kingdom, God's kingdom, not my kingdom. Jesus demonstrated this to us in the garden when he was there praying. He said, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. The fact is that we are to participate in the advancement of God's kingdom. And often, we might say, well, the reason it's hindered in our world is that we might point to the devil, evil men and evil schemes. And certainly they don't want to see God's kingdom expanded. Absolutely, no doubt. They are at work trying to hinder God's work. But there's also another reason why God's kingdom doesn't expand. It's because God's people are too busy working on their own agendas, their own kingdoms, their own plans. We're devoting so much time to our own projects and efforts to build up our own legacy, our own kingdom. When Alice and I had the opportunity last year to travel to the Holy Land, we had a wonderful opportunity to visit some other sites that necessarily weren't found in Scripture, but they're in the Holy Land in Israel. And we went to two fortresses that were built by Herod the Great. And that is the Herod of the Bible, but these places, these locations, these fortresses that he built aren't something that we see in Scripture, but they are there in the Promised Land. Masada, which is by the Dead Sea, and Herodion, just outside of Jerusalem. These fortresses, these palaces, were a refuge for one person. They were for Herod the Great. He was so concerned about preserving his own life, his own legacy, and he also wanted visible manifestations in the land of his awesome power and influence. They were also means of escape. If he ever needed to get out of Jerusalem, he might run to Herodion and hold up there. And if forces followed him there, he'd head then to Masada, to the Dead Sea. Basically, he was trying to make his way to Jordan, where his family was from. But these massive fortresses, these places of refuge, were there for one purpose and one purpose only. For Herod, to preserve his own life, his legacy. The amount of man hours, slaves, resources built, these are massive, massive structures. All to preserve one man's life and power. Now, I don't think there's anyone here that is on the scale of Herod the Great. I'm fairly confident of that. but maybe to a lesser degree. We spend an exorbitant amount of time working on our own plans, our own projects, rather than looking at our lives and how we are participating in the advancement of the kingdom of God. There is, on one extreme, missionaries or evangelists, those who have sacrificed much in order to advance the kingdom of God. From my contacts through Global Equip, as well as even in our own denomination, I know many individuals, people who've sold everything. They've moved overseas in order to fulfill and bring and make known Christ to the nations. They have absolutely nothing here. They are American or Canadian citizens who sold everything in order so that they can serve in other countries. They are often the exception in the church, but doesn't have to be that way. Now, I'm not suggesting, by the way, and I'll make that clear here and sooner than later, that does not mean that all of us need to become evangelists and missionaries in order to advance the kingdom of this world. But maybe, just maybe, all of us need to do an assessment and consider how we are participating in it. And also, to be clear, I'm not here to judge or to say I'm clear or know that you are participating or you're not. It's easy to make snap judgments and looking at the outside of a person's life and think that you can say what they're doing or not doing. Really, I think that assessment needs to come from within. But the clarity here is this: your kingdom come. Is that our heart's prayer? Are we wanting to see the advancement of God's kingdom? Is that reflected in our time? Now, I'm going to move a little bit that into talking more about that application, but let me just circle back as just two points of application I want to get to very quickly. I'm sorry. There's so much in these three words. The first is that what, again, just to clarify, what is the kingdom of God? What is it that is? I've already mentioned it's this active, dynamic, expanding God's reign over the earth. I've talked about activities like evangelism, discipleship, mercy ministries, global missions, all activities that are obvious in advancing the kingdom of God. But there are literally hundreds, if not thousands, of different ways to advance the kingdom of God. Everything from advocating justice to feeding the hungry to meeting with a new believer to supporting global missions. There are so many ways I could spend the rest of the afternoon or morning talking about how you can do or advance the kingdom of God. Would you believe, for example, that baking cookies and serving coffee and tea is advancing the kingdom of God? You don't believe me? Let me give you an example. Mrs. Bardwell from Williamstown, Massachusetts. On my historical tours, I often might refer to her. She lived near the bridge near the Hoosac River, just north of Williams College. This woman, Mrs. Bardwell, set up a prayer meeting in her house where it had lasting moments, was a lasting moment that had an impact on both the town and the college. By hosting a prayer meeting, she hosted university students, and in her parlor, she served treats and tea to the students that would come. These students then began leading what became known as a revival across the college campus, the Haystack prayer meeting, a push towards global missions and evangelism. And here in North America, the movement of global missions started in Mrs. Bartwell's home, where she served cookies and tea. She did not sell all of her possessions or move overseas to advance the global missions. She simply extended hospitality to students. When we pray this petition, God, would you use me for the kingdom, for his advancement? It can look like a lot of things, and we'll talk about that. But know this, that this is something in which we can participate in. Now, let's talk about an assessment. And I put it in the bulletin. I want to run through these five things very quickly to ask, to maybe help you. And the goal here with these five questions is simply this: not now, but maybe later, while you're home or this afternoon, if you're not watching the football games, or maybe sometime this week, just maybe as a personal assessment. What is your level of activity in advancing the kingdom of God? Five things very quickly. Are you praying this petition personally, applying it? How, Lord, can I advance your kingdom today? Lord, where is there help? Where can I be serving? The best place to start in assessment is to see, are you even praying? Asking God, can you give me eyes and ears to see where you are working in our midst? Are you simply praying about the advancement of God's kingdom? Secondly, look at your day, your week, your month, your year, your money, and where it goes. Can you find examples of how you are helping to advance the kingdom of God? And remember, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of ways that you could be advancing the kingdom of God. As I showed, just mentioned earlier, baking cookies and serving tea can help. Babysitting someone and allowing someone to go to a meeting is a service in itself. Helping and serve in an activity, supporting churches, ministries. Again, I could do this all afternoon. There are many different ways in which we can advance the kingdom of God. And I want to say this, and this is not in an effort to win the favor of the parents of the small children in our church, but to say this to the parents of small children. You are absolutely doing kingdom work when you are raising your children to know who Jesus is. That is no small thing. Seeing the children of CPC does my soul a lot of good because I am seeing the church, the emergence of the church in the future, Christ's church. One of my favorite things this past fall was doing the confirmation class. What a joy to spend time with those young individuals in talking about Christ in their life. That's expanding the kingdom. That's discipleship at its best. As you are raising your children, you are doing kingdom work. Now, third and fourthly, sorry, I didn't mean to go off on that on the second one. Do you desire to better be equipped for ministry? Are you reading, studying, attending online courses, learning to better understand how you could serve? Do you spend time with others who are doing the missional work? Active, seeing what they're doing. Are you willing to help and support them? This Monday, I'm facilitating for a second time an online book club called put on by Prayer Current that's involving leaders from all over North America. And the idea is I facilitate this discussion and others are participating. Steve Dolbeck has gone through it. Karen Ng have gone through it, where we're looking at John Smed's book, Prayer Revolution, on missional prayer. John Smed is all about advancing the kingdom of God. Those of you who have met him know this. I think that's all he thinks about. I think it annoys his wife to a certain degree because that's all he's not cutting the grass or doing other things. He's so busy thinking about how God's kingdom can be advanced. That's his passion and it's infectious. Spending time with him in these book clubs often is a blessing and exhortation. Spending people like that is important. One person who went through it started reading scripture aloud in her town's park just because she felt a call to proclaim the word of God publicly. Another who teaches in a seminary began to realize they were going to hold a prayer meeting with students as they're trying to discern their calling in the future. Even our very own Steve Dolbeck, if I can call upon him, started prayer walking our city in Nashua on Saturdays. There are opportunities in which that we can learn and grow and take things that can help us to do that. My point is, too, that you don't have to figure this out on your own. You don't have to sit at home and go, I don't know how to advance the kingdom of God. There are many ways and resources out there that can help you. But lastly, do you think about God's kingdom as an optional activity for the Christian? For some reason, and I don't know why, we feel that the obligation that we have is to public worship. That's what's really important. And ministry, if we have time, is second. Now, worship is absolutely important. I'm not trying to flip the two concepts or to put them in sort of like they're juxtaposed. In fact, I think they're equally important. Public worship is important, but so is ministry. And my question is, if you do an assessment, are you thinking it's optional? And if you think it's optional to be involved in the expansion of the kingdom of God, read the Sermon on the Mount again in its entirety. Read the Gospels, read what Jesus says, read what the Apostle Paul says. The expectations of followers of Jesus Christ is that we are praying, your kingdom come. We are to participate in that petition. Now, I know I'm pressed for time on this Sunday because of just the way things are with this pandemic. But please consider these five assessment questions. Take time to pray about them. Don't skip or delay. Use this afternoon, use any time you have, but know that we, as followers of Jesus Christ, have a wonderful opportunity to advance the kingdom of God as we pray this petition. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the fact that in such a short little prayer, Christ gives us so much to consider, to think about. Your kingdom come. We are praying for the kingdom to be expanded now. We are praying that the kingdom will come in its consummation, will come together in its completion in the new heavens and the new earth. And we are praying not our kingdom, but your kingdom, your advancement, your purposes. And show us what, Lord, show us what that looks like in our lives. Are we making that effort to expand your kingdom? Thank you, Lord, for just that, that in these simple three words, there's so much for us to consider, and may it be to our hearts and minds transformative by your grace, by your mercy. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. For those of us who are here,